love at all. 99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2 following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And it is time for Back of the Book. Right here. Got to...
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All Pacifica Gets an 18-Month Reprieve, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
Indeed. And we'll be here with you till about 6 o'clock, or just before 6 o'clock this morning. And you can find out a little bit more about what we're going to do by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And you can look around at things there. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left-hand side of your screen that says latest Back of the Book program links at the top of it. And you click on that and you'll get to the webpage for tonight's radio program, for this morning's radio program. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 39th pandemic episode of Back of the Book, and it's pre-recorded, of course. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And we haven't been here for 2 weeks. We were preempted last week, so we're going to have to talk about 2 weeks' worth of stuff here. Oh, my. And the top news item of this past fortnight is we're all the way back down to 106 followers. Oh, they're bailing out on us like crazy. We were down to 107 last time. Oh, geez, I guess this is the electrons needed to supply that many are just, you know, making the continent bounce up and down by now. Anyway, the next public WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on Wednesday, May 12th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security, and we've seen an actual news item about that being really bad and remote exploits being operated on people's computers when they sign on to Zoom. But hey, the WBAI LSB will keep using it, along with a lot of other people. We had a local station board meeting this past week, and the local station board passed a motion, sort of two motions, actually, about something important that I'm not allowed to talk about on the air, but which you can go up to the Pacifica.org website and read about. And during this particular LSB meeting, one person from a certain faction tried to sabotage the functioning of a committee that's doing a search for the permanent program director hire here at WBAI. And so the meeting lasted for half an hour past its adjournment time, and the LSB was unable to get to a number of things. Oh, well, it's an election year at Pacifica, and I'm sure that we'll see more of these tactics. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 139,495,824 on Friday, and global deaths reached 2,992,169, which means certainly by the time you hear this, global deaths will top 3 million. And in America, the number of cases as of Friday was 31,558,496, and the death toll in America was an even 566,000. So, 18,188 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 2 weeks ago. The death rate is now trending higher. It's averaging the last 2 weeks, and that comes out to 9,094 deaths from COVID-19 per week for the last 2 weeks, which is 2,015 more deaths than the week before this past fortnight. This is not good. We're still under 10,000 dead in America per week for the fifth week in a row, but we're just barely under it. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures will be higher. And places are opening up all over the place. In some states, they're opening up as their numbers are climbing. Meanwhile, in New York State, infection rates have dropped to where they had been in late November, before the post-Thanksgiving surge. Yeah, people are just going to keep doing this kind of thing, and it is no wonder that pandemics, various diseases just go galloping through the human species historically, because people just can't be bothered to be disciplined about this kind of thing. Even when we have the germ theory of disease now, we know what's happening, people just won't behave. And what they do is they say, it can't happen to me. I won't get infected. I won't die. I'll be okay. I want to just go do the stuff I usually do. Whole bunch of those people are among the dead, I'm sure. But this is what's happening at this point in time, and it's not good. There was a congressional hearing the other day regarding the pandemic, and Dr. Anthony Fauci had a confrontation with Trump supporter Representative Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, who repeatedly asked when COVID-19 restrictions would be lifted so Americans could, quote, get back their liberty back, unquote. Dr. Fauci replied, quote, we're not talking about liberties. We're talking about a pandemic that has killed 560,000 Americans, unquote. And now, of course, it's 566,000, and it'll be more by the time you hear this radio program. I mean, what fools these Republicans are. They're locked into their ideologies and their superstitions, and they can't even come out of that for life and death stuff. They can't even come out of that for the fact that they are pissing people off. And a lot of voters are looking at this, and I think that Georgia may be showing the way of the future, where a lot of Republican voters, or people who voted for Republicans, not necessarily Republican voters, are going to say, geez, these Republicans, they're doing bad things. I'm going to go for somebody else, which we hope is not like a Tea Party nutcase or something, or QAnons. Anyway, the CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bourla, predicted on Thursday that people who have received the company's COVID vaccine will, quote, likely, unquote, need a third booster shot within a year to maintain protection against the virus. And yes, Pickles and I have noticed that on the back of our vaccination cards for COVID-19, there's room for more vaccinations. So that was thinking ahead by the CDC. And yeah, well, this is the way it is. We're just going to have to get booster shots, I suppose, because we have these new variants. We wouldn't have so many newer and worse variants if people got the shot and didn't get the virus and start cooking up new variants inside their bodies. That's how it happens. It isn't that the virus does a big mutation usually while it's drifting through the air. It happens when it gets inside the human body. And what happens is it doesn't reproduce. You get a whole lot of viruses, but they don't reproduce. They replicate. The difference is that reproduction involves an organism that is alive, which a virus is not, and the organism basically starts paring off its DNA. And a virus can't do that because it's not alive. The virus dumps DNA or RNA into a cell, and the stuff goes into the cell's nucleus and messes it up and starts making new parts of a virus. Not an entire virus, but parts of a virus. The virus parts, the various proteins, drift around inside the cytoplasm, the interior of the cell, and they just sort of come together. They automatically assemble. And this is one of the amazing things about biology, is that some things automatically assemble. This is probably how life itself started. Anyway, it just assembles, and it's not like there's anything watching out, which is what happens with DNA. There are little things that go along and make sure DNA is being transcribed properly. And that makes sure that doesn't make sure there are no errors, but it keeps the errors down a hell of a lot. But virus doesn't have that. It's just thrown together. It's like you took a bunch of stuff and you threw it in a junkyard, and then there's an earthquake and some of the stuff jumbles together, and you know, you hope you get a 1957 Chevy out of that, but you're not likely to. You're more likely to get just a different pile of junk. That's what happens with viruses. They mutate because their genetic material is scrambled around anyway, and it just comes out, and sometimes they have different exterior proteins, which is the big thing on this particular virus, and they infect you more than the original virus did. Sometimes less, but those get taken out by natural selection. The most virulent virus will get selected by natural selection and become the dominant one, which is what has happened. The UK variant, as it's called, has become the dominant virus in America. So there we are. And the South African variant is bidding to take out that particular spot and become the most dominant strain of the virus in America. So we'll see what the hell happens with all of that. And the statistics have come out for people who've gotten vaccinated, and they're really excellent. The percentage of people who've gotten vaccinated but who got COVID-19 anyway, and this is called a breakthrough infection because the virus will have broken through the vaccination. The percentage of people who've gotten COVID-19 anyway, despite being vaccinated, is this is tremendous. 0.008%. That's 0.008%. And this is based on tens of millions of people being vaccinated and something over 5,000 people actually getting infected after they're vaccinated. So these vaccines are tremendous. They're really good. And you should go get some if you haven't already. And Pickles of the North got her second Pfizer vaccination this past week. And why don't you tell us about all of that, my dear?
I shall. It was quite the experience. Walked over to our local pharmacy where I had received the first shot, I guess about a month ago, because they seem to be making people wait 4 weeks in between the shots.
Yeah,
and it went very smoothly last time. This time, not so much. I got to the pharmacy and they were swamped. They had a clerk trying to deal with prescriptions and answering the phone. They had another clerk who was dealing with handing out the prescriptions the other clerk had taken in and were filled by the pharmacist who was filling the prescriptions. And she was also dealing with the people in the vaccination line. So this was very difficult. And it seemed like they might have been understaffed, which is understandable. There's a pandemic going on, of course. And we had a jumbled line. There were supposed to be two lines, but there weren't signs up telling you where to stand. So everybody was jumbled together, no social distancing, or very little. It was like the mini version of social distancing. And as we're waiting in the line, the clerks are saying, there's two lines. And they were telling us which aisle to stand in. And people couldn't hear because there were a lot of people. The lady behind me decided she weren't standing in no line. And she went ahead of me and started yelling at the clerks. And I actually told her, you know, what the clerk just said was there are two lines. Prescriptions stand over here. Vaccination people in line for the shots stand over here. And I'm the next person in that line. So she got behind me, which was great because she could have either started bullying me instead of the clerk, but she stood behind me and she started bullying the woman standing behind her, screaming at her, you're too close to me, get away, blah, blah. And that woman, you know, was giving it back to her because, you know, that woman was just standing there.
You would have kicked her ass.
Jeez. The alternate universe, I would have headbutted her, but not in this one. So they were going at it. And while she's yelling at the woman, she's like, she's way too close to me. So it's like, whatever, just please let me get up to the counter, which I did. And I did all the stuff I was supposed to do. And then it was this woman's turn. So you have to sort of stand off to the side and wait in this tiny space before you actually go into the tiny clinic to get your vaccination. So this woman goes up and she starts yelling at the clerk again. She starts yelling. She starts swearing. She's waving her arms around. She's, you know, she's having that stance where you like thrust your face in the other person's. But of course, you know, it's a pandemic and everybody has masks on. But still, you know, she's like leaning over the counter at this young woman and saying, I don't need an appointment. Well, she did need an appointment. Oh, the pharmacist told me I didn't need an appointment. He came over, the one who was working with the prescription, said, Madam, I did not tell you that. You need an appointment. And it turns out when people don't show up for their appointments, which happens, things happen, then you can call and see if there's one, you know, an empty slot available and they'll pencil you in. But you're making an appointment by calling them and doing that. So anyway, she's calling him an idiot. She's calling the young woman an idiot. So it was not nice at all. And the young woman kept her cool and said, look, you, please don't talk to me that way. That's not nice. You shouldn't be doing that. She gave her all the information. The woman kept yelling, took the information, yelled some more, waved her arms around some more, and then she left. And all of us are like, oh, this is what we need now. So after this happens, I get called to go in the back and receive my vaccination. And the pharmacist who's giving the shots, I mean, he's running back and forth doing things. So he's witnessed all of this and the brouhaha, and everybody's like, oh. So I get in there, and he's very nice again. Last time was super easy. I didn't even know he was giving me a hypodermic. This time, not so much. I don't know if he was rattled or it was just unlucky, because sometimes this happens. When he was giving me the shot, it hit a nerve. At least that's what Artball and I think happened, from the amount of pain that was involved. So, and also, I tried really hard not to jump, because that was the reaction to this. So I sort of steeled myself. And then when he was actually plunging the, what is that part called?
Maybe it's a plunger. I don't know.
Well, when he was actually injecting the vaccine, oh, mama, that was something. Now, I hasten to tell you, dear listeners, do not let this deter you from getting your shot, because that, I think that's happened once in all my years of going to the dentist, and not our current dentist, who was amazing. You know, I remember when being a little kid having a nerve hit, and that's the same kind of feeling, you know. It's going to happen sometimes. Anyway, so I finished, got the shot, got the little bandage put on, and left, and went home, said thank you again to everyone, you know. And then the pain began. Lots of pain, some immobility, and then the regular nausea and, you know, chills and fatigue, with the extra added bonus of having this nerve, like, wow, that was a lot of pain in a lot of spots.
Yeah, it's going from somewhere in your chest down your arm to your hand, isn't it? So that's a nerve. That's got to be a nerve.
Yeah. And right now it's getting better, though. It's just going to take time. But so that was my experience with the second shot. And all in all, still absolutely grateful to have it. I'll be happy to get a booster. I mean, I'll be happy to have once a year have to go and get this, like a flu shot. I mean, if it keeps people safe and it keeps people out of the hospital and it keeps people from getting deathly ill, it is absolutely worth it. So thank you, science, and all the people who work in science, in all its aspects, to, you know, creating vaccines, to taking care of people, injecting the vaccines. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, and of course, some people don't believe in scientific stuff, and we can see all that, like that moron Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, and many others. And Pickles of the North and I continue our pandemic lifestyle. We're very close to the time when Pickles should be as immune as possible and we can go out together for mere fun. Oh boy, that'll be good. We're also going to drag me to the VA hospital for a lot of visits and tests that we haven't done for more than a year. Oh, maybe I'll be able to get a pair of eyeglasses that'll allow me to see again. Oh yeah, my eyeballs are going to hell in a handbasket here, and I've got a 2 or 2.5 year old prescription, so I put on the glasses and I'm still saying, what? Anyway, there's that. And also, we have in this past fortnight, since we've been off a fortnight, not a week, this past fortnight, we have also rebooted our refrigerator. Yes, we've defrosted our frost-free refrigerator again, and it's cold in there, and it still works, and good for us.
So exciting. You can keep things in there like fresh milk and eggs, and oh, boy.
Wow. We're in the 20th century at last.
Oh, the life is good.
We're finding out, and this is something we found out as we were preparing the program. Last night, a 19-year-old former employee named Brandon Hole murdered at least 8 people at a FedEx plant in Indianapolis. He wounded several other people. And then he committed suicide. Indianapolis Police Deputy Chief Craig McCart said, quote, "There was no confrontation with anyone that was there," unquote. There was no disturbance. There was no argument. He just appeared to randomly start shooting. Unquote. And today, police in New York arrested a guy with what witnesses described as an AK-47 type assault rifle in a Times Square subway station. Yeah, on top of the pandemic, we have this crap going on with all of these various nutcases acting out to, you know, murder multiple people. And, oh, man, this is just terrible stuff. I mean, we had bad things before, and it's gotten worse during a pandemic. We have these murderer-type people. Then we got the gangs in New York and Chicago who've said, hey, there's a pandemic on, fewer people around, let's start shooting. And they're all shooting people like crazy. There's also the story of some neighbor who got angry at someone from something earlier in the day. And then at night, he starts shooting into the apartment and he wounds the woman he had been arguing with and he kills her 7-year-old son. And, you know, and we have just a plethora of these kinds of things where people get angry and murder people and where the gangs are shooting each other for retaliation or whatever it is on their minds. And then you've got these people whom we can really only describe as nutcases who out of nowhere just show up and start shooting people. And so, yes, we have all of this. And it is the pandemic helping to do this kind of thing. And this is terrible stuff.
And then you have people who decide they hate an entire group of people and they go ahead and shoot them.
Yes.
You know, my mother, I speak to her twice a week. She's 90 years old and she keeps asking me, why does this keep happening in the United States? Why does this keep happening in the United States? I don't have an answer for her.
Yeah, nobody does. Why exactly does this happen so much in the United States of America? Ugh. This is a news item for people my age and maybe a bit older and slightly younger. We have learned that Rusty from Rin Tin Tin died of a stroke on April 1st. Rin Tin Tin, well, it was a radio series, and you can listen to Maxwell J. Schmid doing the Golden Age of Radio on Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. here on WBAI New York. And you can listen to him, and sometimes he'll play one of the Rin Tin Tin episodes because they had a whole program of Rin Tin Tin. There were also Rin Tin Tin movies. Rin Tin Tin was a dog who, you know, did amazing things. He in the 1930s, I think it was a 1920s Rin Tin Tin showed up. But at some point in those old days, they were just fascinated with animals as the stars of shows, of movies and things. And so you had horses and you had other dogs. Rin Tin Tin was the top dog, literally, of the animals that were stars. And so there were some Rin Tin Tin movies, and there was, as I said, Rin Tin Tin radio program. And then in 1954, they came up with a Rin Tin Tin TV program. It was on Friday nights. And I used to watch that. And he used to start out with the cavalry, because he's supposed to be with the cavalry. Rusty is a little boy who's with the cavalry out west. You know, it's another one of these total fantasy things. The kid is there so that kids will have not just the dog, but a kid to identify with. And it follows the kid all the time. And the adults and what they're doing are all pretty much peripheral to the kid and the dog. And it would start out starring some guy, I forget his name, as Lieutenant Rip Masters. Oh, what a butch name. Who are you? I'm Rip Masters. Oh, man. Come here, Rip. We're going to do it. Anyway, pardon me while I whip this out, Rip. And, well, who knows? Anyway, so the actor's name who played Rusty was Lee Aker. And the report I read said he had struggled with drug and alcohol abuse for quite a while. And he was living off his SAG pension because he got a pension. He was in some movies. The last time he worked was in 1963 as an actor. And he was on the I Love Lucy show. And I used to like Lucy when I was like 5 or 6. After that, it got worse and worse until I was an adult and she was really repellent. I don't know why. I guess we just develop, you know? I used to agree with the French when I was 5 years old that Jerry Lewis was a genius. Well, I got a different opinion by the time puberty hit, I think. Anyway, so Lee Aker has passed away, and another person we remember from our youth is no longer with us. And, you know, it's unfortunate that he had problems and things like that, but... oh, well, there he is, and I'm sure that some stations probably have the rights to run the Rin Tin Tin thing, and they'll probably run a big bunch of them. They don't have to choose any specific one because the kid was all over every single episode.
How old was he, R. Paul?
Duh. Oh, crap, I didn't write that down.
Well, that's all right.
Anyway, yes, he was older than I was. He was born sometime in the 40s, so he was in his 70s.
Sure, yeah.
He was in his 70s for certain. So anyway, there he is. Maybe he was 80, I don't know, but probably the 70s. We're sorry to hear that. Lee Aker, a.k.a. Rusty, has gone. And Rin Tin Tin, the dog who played Rin Tin Tin, died decades ago.
I've got to say, Art Paul, when you said the star of Rin Tin Tin had died, and it doesn't make any sense because the dog would have died a long, long time ago, but that's who I thought you were talking about at first.
Oh, my.
No, it was like, was it a secret that he had had a stroke? And then I thought, that can't be right. And it wasn't. Maybe it's the vaccine.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
The vaccine is scrambling your brain.
Oh, yes. How would we know? I know.
And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Okay, we got a pitch. This is WBAI. We are listener-sponsored non-commercial radio in New York City, and we're non-commercial, so we don't sell cars or trucks. We don't sell all sorts of things. We don't sell... there are no formal commercials on this radio program. And you also don't hear us pitching, having Joe Namath come on and pitch some of those awful... semi-fraudulent things where they tell people, hey, call this number and you'll get this. And the way they say it is, you can't hold them to it, but makes people think, oh, and they're going to do all this good stuff for me, and it's free, and it turns out only a very small number of people get all that free stuff, and that's government stuff. What it is it's a pitch to get older people to call a certain phone number so that they will... they will get pitched by that company, and the company will also be able to sell their information, which is the big thing these days, getting information and selling it. Well, we don't do that. In fact, we're lucky if we can keep your information. So we gotta tell you that we beg for money. That's how we survive. I mean, it costs $120,000 a month to run WBAI. And a lot of that is electricity. We use a gigantic amount of electricity. And also we're paying like $17,000 a month for tower rent. And there are all sorts of expenses to running a radio station, even if you do it as short a shoestring as you can, it still costs a lot. And $120,000 is what it costs us per month, according to the general manager. And so what we do is we ask you to support us. We ask you to go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950, and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. That's what they really want you to do. And if you become a BAI buddy, you get a WBAI tote / grocery bag. A BAI buddy is the name for our sustaining membership. And if you become a BAI buddy, that means you agree to donate a certain amount of money to BAI every month. And when you call up 1-212-209-2950, you tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and make sure you tell them it's for Back of the Book, and you tell them how much you want to donate every month. You can donate $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month. You could do more, but I figure $5 to $20 is what most of our listeners can afford. And really, $5 a month, you know, that's only $60 a year. That's fairly harmless. $5 a month, probably not going to do a lot of bad things to you. And what you do is you also tell them what day of the month you want your card charged. And they will charge your credit card or your debit card on that date every month for the amount you specify. Again, $5, $10, $15, or $20 every month. And again, if you want to do $5 a month, you can do that. It isn't a whole lot. If you could do more, like $10 or $15 or $20 a month, we'd really appreciate that. Also, you can do a lump sum. You can say, I want to make a one-time donation to Back of the Book, and same number, 212-209-2950. And also, if you become a BAI buddy, there are all sorts of offers for discounts on things if you're a BAI buddy. And I don't have the list in front of me. It changes. They add to it all the time. And so you go up to WBAI.org and you can look, and you go to certain stores and you get discounts on things and stuff like that. And so, yes, that's what you can do. And, of course, this is a new number. Actually, it's an old number. We no longer have the 516 number. The number these days is 1-212-209-2950, an old number that is restored. That's 1-212-209-2950. And elections for the local station board are coming. Yes, they'll be coming later this year. And please become a member so you can vote in that. Now, some of you became members so that before April 7th, so you can vote in something I can't tell you about, but which you can read all about if you go up to the Pacifica website at pacifica.org. In fact, I think at WBAI.org, there's something up there too. I can't talk about it on the air. But anyway, you can call the number. And if you have already gotten in there for April 7th, you're going to be able to vote in what I can't tell you about. But I can tell you that the local station board elections are coming up, and they are important. If you get too many idiots on the local station board, oh boy, we've had disasters in the past. We've had things where people said, hey, the budget is short by hundreds of thousands of dollars. What are we going to do? And one of the idiots puts up a hand and says, I move to increase the listener support line by $200,000 or more. And the other idiots say, that's a great idea, and they all vote for it. It's make-believe. And so the budget balances. We passed a balanced budget. Of course, by the end of the year, you're not making that money, and so you're in a hole. Because what happens is you spend according to your budget. That's what always happens. You spend according to your budget, but if you don't raise the money in accordance with the budget, you have an imbalance. And that's what happened in those days. And we don't want that crowd getting back in again, although they're going to try. 1-212-209-2950. And we want to thank Seth. Seth renewed his membership in time for the April 7th deadline for voting on something I can't tell you about. Thank you, Seth. Seth is a friend of ours. He's a longtime listener and donor to the station through back of the book here. Thank you, Seth. And we are going to be getting, we're told we're going to be getting more information on people who donate. I think there have been some others who've donated, and we're going to get their names. Seth wrote to us personally because he knows us. Management is going to get us the names of other people now that they have new software that allows them to figure out which way is up. Whoops. And this is probably a good time to say that Pacifica has issued the following press release. Quote, on Wednesday, March 31st, 2021, the Pacifica National Board reached an agreement with the FJC Foundation, the provider of a $3.1 million loan, to extend the maturity date of the loan for 18 months. The agreement was reached following a careful review of Pacifica's improving financial situation. The dramatic improvement in Pacifica's prospects were highlighted by Pacifica's auditor, who wrote in a communication to FJC that, quote, the Pacifica National Board and management of the foundation has implemented various financial policies and directives which appear to have, or the potential to have, positive impacts to the foundation's financial condition, unquote. The extension of the loan agreement gives Pacifica the time required to continue the process of financial and operational reforms that so far proved effective in restoring financial and organizational stability, unquote. So, that's some good news. Is this big loan? We've talked about that in the past. It's knocked down to $3.1 million. It had been $3.2 million, but we managed to pay off $100,000 of it. And so, yes, we are paying off the big loan, and we're going to try and make things better. BAI, however, still needs operating expenses. We need to do it. The people from the Pacifica Radio Archives are complaining because, and rightly, because BAI hasn't been sending them the portion the central services fees were supposed to send them, and they're hurting because of that. And all of this can be helped by you calling 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. You can either make a one-time donation, or you can become a BAI buddy. Call them up at 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And then you tell them how much you want to donate on a monthly basis. It could be $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month or more. And you also tell them what day of the month you want your card charged. And that, on that date every month, they will charge your credit card or your debit card. So it should be fairly painless doing donations to BAI as a BAI buddy. And you get that spiffy-looking tote bag. Ooh, you'll be the envy of everybody else who is there with some crappy bag picking up their groceries, and especially of the people who are going to have to buy a crappy 99-cent or dollar or more bag from the grocery store, which is probably made out of paper mache and is designed to fall apart before they get home. Yeah, you'll be the envy of all those people. In any event, 1-212-209-2950, that is the number to call, and we would ask you to call that now. Thank you for calling that number. And in other news of things like the January 6th insurrection, the Capitol police officer who shot and killed that woman who was charging through the window to try to get at people in Congress for nefarious purposes, and he shot and killed her righteously, he has been cleared of any wrongdoing for having blown her away. It was a good thing that he blew one of them away. I wish they'd blown some more of those people away. In any event, There's also stuff going on with voter suppression. This is terrible. We talked about this a little bit last time, and we said this has the potential to really wreck America. Because if you end up with a pretty sizable majority of people who are saying, we're not represented, that's how bad things happen. And the Republicans are, like, trying to set that up. And so they've passed, they're like, I don't know, 43 states or something engaging in voter suppression. This is tremendous. And so Georgia has been especially egregious in this area. And Coca-Cola is objecting to Georgia's voter suppression laws. And Major League Baseball has moved this year's All-Star Game out of Georgia. And a couple of hundred other companies have also gone on record objecting to the voter suppression. And that hypocrite Mitch McConnell goes on the Senate floor and says that businesses should stay out of politics. While he takes millions and tens of millions of dollars from them as campaign contributions. That's a big thing with the Republicans, getting businesses to donate to them while they give the businesses gigantic tax breaks that puts the burden of funding everything on everybody else. Or the option of fewer services and not getting things to happen. And there's this infrastructure bill that they don't like much at all. And the infrastructure just isn't getting done. And God damn, you know, lots of presidents have gone around through the infrastructure falling apart in America. You know, what's going to happen is, well, we've already had at least one major bridge fall down. And if we start having like a series of big named bridges, if the Golden Gate Bridge or the George Washington Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge falls apart or something, that's going to be quite an eye-opener, and it will be because there hasn't been enough maintenance pulled on them, and infrastructure maintenance is really important. And the Republicans in Congress don't like it. They especially don't like it that Biden's going to try and do it when Trump was, oh, yeah, we're going to do that, and he never even came near it because he never had any intention of doing it, much less a plan. Anyway, so Mitch McConnell is saying stay out of politics while he is there openly soliciting them and getting tens of millions of dollars from businesses. And the Republicans rail against what they call, quote, cancel culture, unquote. And now they're having Coke machines removed from their buildings. And they're making noises about removing baseball's special exemption from antitrust laws. What hypocrites! What hypocrites! And in several different ways. They don't like cancel culture. They're trying to cancel Coke and baseball, for Christ's sakes. And speaking of Coke, the other kind, Matt Gaetz, this Trump-supporting bozo, is really looking like he's in trouble now. The feds seized his cell phone last year, and it looks like he's going to be in trouble for going on drug-fueled parties, sex parties, with some underage female persons. And oh boy, there are witnesses being quoted in the newspapers and all sorts of stuff about there being cocaine and ecstasy at these parties. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen here, but, oh, it couldn't happen to a worse Republican. And so there we are with that. And what a bad guy. All right. There's a new paper from a subset of the Large Hadron Collider scientists theorizing that they may have found a fifth fundamental force in the universe. This new force would be carried by a new particle, and that would challenge at least some parts of what's called the standard model of the universe. Over the years, there have been some odd results coming out of the Large Hadron Collider. One type of quark appeared to be decaying into leptons called muons less often than they decayed into electrons. Leptons are electrons and muons and some other small particles like that. And quarks are things that make up other particles, like a proton is made up of three quarks. Quarks have an entire whole big bunch of names and types, and I'm not going to get into that because it's too much for what we're discussing right now. Anyway, those particular quarks that they've been measuring should be decaying into 50% electrons and 50% muons. And they've been running tests on these topics for years, and this anomaly keeps showing up. The latest and best tests run at the Large Hadron Collider are showing around 85 muon decays for every 100 electron decays, and with a smaller uncertainty than ever before. And the uncertainty of the result is now over what's called 3 sigma, which means that there is only a 1 in 1,000 chance that the result is a random fluke of the data. So it's 1 in 1,000 that there's nothing there. So that means it's 999 in 1,000 that there's something there. Particle physicists consider that anything over 3 sigma is what they call, quote, evidence, unquote. A formal declaration of a, quote, discovery, unquote, or, quote, observation, unquote, would require 5 sigma, which is 1 chance in 3.5 million that a random fluctuation would yield that result. For example, after years of experimentation on the Large Hadron Collider, scientists were able to achieve a 5 sigma result and declare that they had observed the famous Higgs boson in March of 2013. And there are all sorts of possibilities related to this anomaly. If it keeps showing up in more and more rigorous tests, a lot of scientists are eager to see something beyond the standard model of the universe that's been holding on for so very long. One thing some people are wishing for is that a new particle will help to define dark matter, but anything new will give rise to a lot more research. And in some other fast news, the Department of Justice has revealed on Tuesday that the FBI gained authorization to remove web shells installed on compromised servers related to the Exchange vulnerabilities. Exchange is a Microsoft system you put on a server, and it handles a lot of traffic. And a web shell is something malicious hackers have put onto these Exchange servers, and it sits on top of it, and what it does is many malicious things, but one of them is it burrows down and gets into companies and individuals' computers and can steal information, can plant ransomware, and do all sorts of nefarious things. And so what's happened is the Justice Department issued a press release that said, quote, many infected system owners successfully removed the web shells from thousands of computers. Others appeared unable to do so, and hundreds of such web shells persisted unmitigated. This operation removed one early hacking group's remaining web shells, which could have been used to maintain and escalate persistent unauthorized access to United States networks, unquote. And yeah, they get into your network because this is a network, Exchange's network software on a server. And so the FBI has gone in and blasted them. And I don't think they told everybody about this. On one hand, well, it's for practical reasons good that they're blasting this stuff away. And of course, if they're doing it on government websites, that's fine. For government servers, they can do it. But they're doing it all over the place. And there is a disturbing aspect of the FBI going in and blasting away things on your server. So this is a part of the strange world we live in, where you can end up getting you got bad guys in every direction, and sometimes you can't figure out what to do. Some of the people who are running servers aren't that good at it, And so they're going to be sitting there with their fingers where they sit, and they're going to be saying, I wonder how the hell to do this. And some of them probably don't even pay attention to anything and don't know that there is a problem with web shells on their servers. So in that way, it's sort of like, it's almost like forced vaccinations, I guess, which is also a very controversial kind of thing. Oh, well. Hey, we all remember Typhoid Mary, don't we? We did a program regarding her a while back. All right. Again, 1-212-209-2950. 1-212-209-2950. Please call that number. Say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you can become a sustaining member. That's what a BAI buddy is. You become a sustaining member and tell them you want to become a member and you want to pledge $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month and tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged for that amount. And you will become a BAI buddy and a sustaining member of WBAI, and you'll get the ultra gorgeous WBAI tote bag, grocery bag to walk around with. You can put your communist propaganda in a WBAI tote bag and hand it out to all the rubes. All right. And I think that's pretty much been it for Back of the Book. Oh, there's Mr. Outro music. Yeah, that's it. All right. We got to go now. Okay. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. Thank you to Seth again for pledging. And thanks to anybody else who has pledged. If we can get your names, we will mention you all in a future program. And we'll be back next week. Yes, we were preempted, but we'll be back next week. And coming up next is the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. And at 7 o'clock this morning, you'll get to hear Jim Freund with his program, Hour of the Wolf, all about science fiction stuff. Okay. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. Thanks also for donating if you donated. And look out the window. Spring is here. It will be mid-spring in a few days. Oh, boy, enjoy that. And above all, remember what that enjoying being vaccinated and hope we can go out soon, Dormouse said. Light in your head and dead on your feet well another crazy day.
The birds and ear massage are migrating to Sundays, 6 to 8 a.m. I'm Mark Leosa, your ear masseur, inviting you to give ear to ear massage, sound, spoken word, a bit of opera, and maybe music you never heard before, including the bird of the week, ear massage between Jeff Brady in other news, and your morning Ursae with James Ursae, here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Ear Massage.
Greetings, this is Dr. James McIntosh, host of Mindfield, which comes to you every Wednesday at 2 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM. Together with my co-host, nurse family therapist, Richardina Theodore, we delve into the explosive issues in mental health. Our mission is to help you know yourself, release your anxieties and your depression, and free your mind. Only on WBAI, the voice of the voiceless, can we voiceless ones be heard. Support the show and WBAI by donating at give2wbai.org. That's the word give, the number 2, at wbai.org. Or by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. You can support the show and the station even more by going to give2wbai.org and giving a monthly donation of as little as $10 per month as a WBAI buddy to your favorite.